Mr. Clarkson, reel 24.
Can I just go on a bit, and apart from that sort of discipline, which is always unfair, I think, would you say Navy discipline was basically fair, or was it overdone, or was it necessary, in which order, or would you think it was just
too much? Well, having served in the prison service afterwards, and knowing a way you have a crowd of men who are likely at some time or other to get a little bit uppish and mutinous, I think it was necessary in lots of cases, even though it could have been a little bit less severe. A case in point. A friend of mine, he was a joiner, by the way, we'd been away for 3 months, and we came back to Portsmouth, and he had a family. His youngest child was ill, and his wife had been up for a fortnight, I suppose, every night with it. It was really ill. And poor Victor went ashore the first day, and to relieve her, he sat up all night, and he came back an hour adrift the next day, a whole hour. And the captain, who was a bachelor, he said, how old is the child? And he told him, he said, oh yes, they usually are. he said, it is a bit tricky, he said, at those ages. But, he said, your ship comes first. Your ship is your wife. 28 days leave stopped. Now then, that meant that we were laying alongside the wall in Portsmouth. His wife and child were ill ashore. And he couldn't. Look at the temptation he had to break out of the dockyard. He couldn't even see them for 28 days. He'd done it. And he went ashore on the first night ashore. The same thing happened. He come along a half an hour adrift. Another 28 days. So that he really had no hopes of seeing his wife or child before we went away again. Now that's the sort of thing that causes somebody to revolt, you know. But
could men appeal against that sort of stupidity? I mean, that is just...
Oh dear, no.
No.
That was the punishment. Another case, in Malta, we had a captain. He afterwards went mad. But the great Captain Rose, don't forget him. And we were in Athens. We're all ashore, chief and POs at night. Now, leave was up at 11 o'clock. Well, we come out, I think it's Piraeus where we had to catch the boat. And, of course, it was a festival occasion. There were thousands of people on the pier when we got down there. And there were several steps down to landing stages there. And they were shouting out, Emperor of India this side. Resolution somewhere else. And the Iron Duke down this side. By the time you'd forced your way through the crowds and found out where you were, our boat had just gone. Now that left about 12 of us, I suppose. We just missed the boat. The boat had shoved off. So we were hanging about there, and eventually we saw another picket boat coming, Iron Duke. So we went down there. It was the captain's boat. And the captain said, you petty officers are off the Iron Duke? Said, yes, sir. We hadn't been in the ship long. Right, he said, get down the boat. So we got down the boat. We thought, oh, we're all right here. We've gone off with the captain. We were. We got aboard. He said, officer, watch for all these... Petty officers in the report, 5 minutes adrift. And so we were put on report. And do you know what he'd done? We were going back to Malta the next day, and a lot of these chiefs and POs had their wives in Malta. We'd been away 3 months. And they stopped their leave for 76 days. Yeah. I didn't mind. I was single. But we weren't stopping in Malta 76 days before we went away on another 3 months' cruise. And the chaplain went to him and he begged of him on his knees. He said, you don't know what you're doing. He said, these men have got their wives ashore and what they can't get ashore. And what's going to happen to their wives? He said, they'll be the prey of everybody there. The men are worried to death. Get out of it, says Rose. Don't tell me what I've got to do. And he wouldn't alter it. He let the wives come aboard the day we were leaving. They were leaving in the afternoon. He let them come aboard for an hour. Call your swan. That was Captain Rose.
Was that par for the course, people like that? These two sort of guys. I mean, were they average? Would you say that was extreme?
No, that wasn't average. He was an outstanding kind. He nearly had a mutiny on there because he was... They got so fed up with him that all the stokers got outside his cabin one night and they were singing "No Rose in All the World Until You Came, You Bastard," yes. And now, he was a funny fella. I've worked in his cabin with him. Something that Jobby wanted to do in there. And he's talked to me like a Dutch uncle. He has talked to me about dockyard men that have done this and done that and places we've been on. I thought, well, he's not a bad sort of a bloke. And then, but outside their cabin, it was different. And then the commander would come in and say, "Defaulter, sir? Well, as far as you can see, no leaf breakers, are there?" "Yes, I'll see them." He hated leaf breakers. He had two sons. And they were on the Queen Elizabeth, where he transferred to later on. And he used to send them poor devils away sailing when we were up in the cold weather all the afternoon. And they used to come back to the ship after about an hour, and he'd be on the quarterdeck and say, "Another 2 hours yet, get away out of it." And these poor sons of his, he was a bully. Years afterwards, he did go mad because I met was running a dance in Winchester here once for a charity. And I dug up a rear admiral to present the prizes. And we were talking one day about, and by the way, he was the last captain of the Iron Duke. That was after I left it. And I asked him if he'd ever come across Rose. Oh, he said, "Oh, Biff Rose." He said he died in a lunatic asylum. In Aden he died, actually. But now, he was a bad one. Following him, after Rose went, along came Forbes. Now, Forbes was just as bad. I wouldn't say he was quite as bad, and not as regards leaf stopping, but in other ways. He seemed to have a hatred of POs and chiefs. And he used to come round Sunday divisions when we were all trying to look our best. And he'd reach out to a chief PO and say, "That suit's not clean enough for my inspection. Rip the buttons off." Anything like that. Now, it's a funny thing, but the big noise aboard the ship is the smallest one ashore when he's with his family. It seems to me that these bullies are bullies because they can bully people without any comeback. I had to go ashore once with... you switch it off, have you? This is... I had to go ashore once when his wife arrived in Malta. This is Forbes, and his wife was a Norwegian. Or she came from up that way. And she'd arrived in Malta the night before. And he sent for me and he said, "I want you to rig up a mosquito net over my bed ashore. And also," he said, "there's a lot of pictures to go up." I said, "Get your gear ready." And he said, "You can catch my boat ashore in 20 minutes' time." I didn't shave for 2 days, I always remember. I got myself in a white suit and I cleared, packed up my gear, caught his boat ashore, and I stopped in the first pub I came to, the first and last, and I had a few drinks there. I went up to his house and introduced myself to his wife. And Captain Arbuthnot, he had a mania for putting people on report for such little things
not having a cap on the upper deck. Stokers coming up for a breath of fresh air. If once, not on his ship, but in his squadron, he'd always have a telescope glued onto another ship, and if he saw a fellow not in the rig of the day, he straight on made a signal to have this man rooted out and punished. He was, as I say, he gave a boy 10A for blowing his nose over the weather side. "Haven't you got a handkerchief, boy?" he said. "Write home and ask your mother for some." And then when he was seasick over the weather side, of course, that was another punishment. Now, what was it we...
When, you know, you there was this about case of the stoker you were talking about.
On one occasion, Stoker was being punished by warrant, and as the rule was then, the lower deck was cleared. The warrant was read out, 90 days detention, and... having read that out, with the usual procedure, having interrogated the prisoner, he calling no witnesses, I hereby judge the case to be substantiated against him, on caps, and then the prisoner was about to be marched off, and he turned round and said, "You bloody sod, I'd like to knock your head off." "Ha," said the captain, he said, "you shall have a chance." And so that evening he had he kept the prisoner back instead of sending him to detention. He had a ring rigged up on the quarter deck. He cleared lower deck, had everybody up there, and the prisoner was brought up there in a pair of shorts, put in the ring, and then Arbuthnot came up in a blue silk dressing gown and asked the prisoner under what conditions he would like, what rules he would like to fight under, Queensberry or otherwise. Well, they got in the ring, and obviously the poor stoker was a bit frightened of the fact that he was up against an officer to start off with. Another thing, he was still going to detention to do his 90 days. He wasn't getting off with anything. If he'd injured the captain, he'd have probably got more punishment. In any case, the captain won. And when he'd finished, he addressed the ship's company by saying, "Now, is there anybody else in the ship's company who would like to knock his captain's bloody head off? If so, let him come up." No volunteers, of course. But that was the type of man he was.
Well, you actually witnessed this, did you?
I didn't,
you
know.
Didn't, no.
But my friend, I've been talking about, Tom Merrifield, he was there. He was the boy, as a matter of fact, that... blew his nose over the weather side of the ship. And Arbuthnot, he was the admiral. There was a Warrior and Defence were the two cruisers that were sunk at the same time, and he was on the Warrior. He was the admiral there, Jutland. And when he went, the Navy heaved a sigh of relief. They really hated him, the lower deck did.
Well, in what other ways? I mean, in his general... conduct, the way that he treated, the way that... I mean, when you were in a ship with a man like that, when he was admiral of whatever squadron, and he was there, I mean, did it make a difference in the life on board? Could it actually make such a difference?
Oh, of course. Of course. There's such things as of an evening, for instance, and you've done your work for the day, you're not on watch or anything like that, and you like to stroll around up and down the other day. But there's such things as not having a cap on. And then you've got petty officers, extra duties this is, posted to catch anybody like that and put them on report. And the punishment is leave stopped, all that sort of thing. Well, when you've been at sea, you don't have your leave stopped when you go in harbour. All petty things. Not being in the rig of the day, trying to get off to a ship, that's the worst thing. When you know you're drifting, you're trying your hardest to get off there, but But that doesn't make any difference. There's no excuse at all. Everything was rigid with him.
And you wonder sometimes what sort of lives these men led ashore. I mean, what sort of lives they led in their families.
Yes.
Indeed.
More or less, well, as I've just quoted one admiral who had to do as he was told when he was ashore, they always seem to be the tyrants. Where they've got authority, they use it, every little bit of it. But when they haven't got any authority and they're in their homes, they're normally the mice.
Yes.
They're the people that have to do as they're told then. And I suppose that's got a lot to do with their attitude when they've...
Yes, you mentioned there about was it Fletcher? Fletcher?
No.
I remember talking about briefly there before we started.
Oh, this other fellow. Yes, I mean, I always felt sorry for Bethel.
Bethel, his name was.
Yeah. And Bethel joined the Navy as a boy, and eventually he thought... He wanted to get out of the Navy. Mm. He was an only child, and his mother was an invalid, and that was the great thing. He tried hard to get out of the Navy. He'd applied in dozens of times, but nothing doing. So he decided that the only way he could get out in the first place, he changed from a naval seaman to a stoker. And then I believe he went back to a seaman again. Anyhow, on one occasion, we were at Constantinople, and he went ashore, picket boat's crew. And there he shoved off. He had a gun. He held up a shop and got money. He held up a bank and got money. He'd taken another fellow with him. And the other fellow, he came back quick. But he was away some months, was Bethel, and we picked him up eventually at Lyons. And then he got detention.